Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to it. For Bryden's Lawyers, 1800 848 848, protecting your future. Bryden's Lawyers, you know what they do. They commit, protect and succeed. It's the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Now, let's introduce the crew before we go any further. But before we do that, Rabbitohs 26, Tigers 24, Manly 32, Dogs 20, Penrith 13 straight now over Parramatta, Penrith 20-2, Raiders 37, Dragons 8, Titans 18, Broncos 6. That's 3 in a row for the Titans. Roosters 42, Knights 12. Today we've got Storm, Cowboys, Sharks, Warriors. Finals time not far away. I hope you got the Triple M NRL app so you can listen to us wherever you want, because we are committed to finals footy and origin footy, grand final, the whole bit, right here on Triple M. Joining us in our Brisbane studio, the Raging Bull Gordon Tallis. Good to speak to you, old mate.
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, Maroon. How you going, mate?
Fantastic. And your good self?
Yeah, oh, outstanding. Titans 3 in a row.
Yeah,
couldn't be any better.
Ah, it's fantastic to see, mate. Here's hoping they get 10 in a row. Akenti from NRL 360, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Anthony. And I'm also hoping the Titans get 10 in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going good. And we love to see it, get a few players there next year. And the sky's the limit. Although, as we've said before, Hoops, many a player has gone there before and thought the sky was the limit, only to find out that's not the case.
Good afternoon, Anthony. You're putting the slipper into the Gold Coast Titans after
all.
3 in a row.
No,
well, that's what it
all.
Just sounded like.
Not at all. Let's not get off the point here, because it's a long way to go, and I know you're dying for an argument. You're all dying for an argument. Let's rip into the games. Let's start off with this hour. Whose phone's that? Whose phone's that going off?
Yours.
I told you, blokes, to turn your phones
Anthony.
Off. Ring light. You get in here.
Come on, mate.
The Maroons poll is already up and fierce. My poll is fierce already. I say the Raiders can make the grand final from outside the top four. I didn't say they can win the grand final. I say the Raiders can make the grand final from outside the top four. Do you agree or disagree? NRL, Triple M NRL Facebook, or at Triple M _NRL. Right, let's talk about some of these games that we've seen over the weekend. And we're going to start off with the Roosters smashing the Newcastle Knights by 42 points to 12. Boys, you all saw that game. It was no contest really in the end. But obviously, Kenny, you know, the Knights rested. Well, one comes to mind, one very good player.
Oh, Kalen Ponga got rested, obviously. I just thought it was the Roosters rolling forward, as they are prone to do this time of year. They're sort of getting their run right for the finals. It was an interesting move from Adam O'Brien to rest the players. I know some people, there's a bit of a, well, certainly in Fox Sports, we've been arguing about it for most of the week, whether it was the right decision to rest players. And also, I suppose that delves into the integrity of the competition when you're resting star players who are fit to play, but you're just trying to freshen them up. And the argument for that, obviously, is whether you're trying to win this weekend's game or whether you're trying to just rest them and get them right to make a bigger tilt at the premiership, which is sort of the area I fall into. I think if you're resting players to try and make sure that they're coming through and they're in the best shape they can be to play in the playoffs, that's what you want to do. And as long as they declare it early and they're not playing silly buggers and doing it like they used to do and just announcing an hour before the game, I'm fine with it.
Mm. Well, Hoops, obviously, just for anyone not across the story, obviously the Knights have thought, we're not going to finish top four. We are going to finish top eight, so we can afford to, give one or two a week off.
Yeah, the other big element of it as well, Maroon, was the fact that Kalyn Ponga was absolutely carved up the week earlier against the Sharks. All clubs obviously target Kalyn. If you can try and nullify his influence on the game, then you can go a long way towards shutting down Newcastle. But they made a couple other calls as well. Heimel Hunt was rested. Mitch Barnett picked up a bit of an injury. I think if it had been a final, Mitch probably would have played. But as a result of that, they also opted to go down the road of resting. Look, Adam O'Brien cut his teeth under the likes of Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson. We've seen them many times over the course of their coaching careers rest big name players at this stage of the season. So I've got to say, I wasn't overly surprised, and I'm with Kenty. I don't see it as a big deal. I don't think they've thrown away their opportunity at trying to have a shot at things. They know they're going to finish in the bottom half of the top eight. I don't think, look, it's questionable they would have beat the Roosters at full strength anyway.
Well, the way it goes at the moment, so if they won last night, they'd be on 23 points, which would put them in sixth position and put the Rabbitohs on 22 in seventh position. Given they didn't win, they're actually in seventh position on 21. The Rabbits are in sixth position. But that first week of the finals, it's six versus seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter. The only change is the home ground advantage, which, given it's the Rabbitohs for the Knights, it's not a great, it's a Sydney game. It's not a massive disadvantage to them, I don't believe. So I can understand if Adam O'Brien's trying to get his team right. And Kalyn is getting knocked around a bit, and I think mostly legally. There's obviously been the odd penalty given for the shot that were a little bit, how you going? But I applaud Adam O'Brien for trying to get them right for the finals and trying to actually come into the finals with a little bit of spring in their step, so they can make a dint there. Nobody wants to see a team limp into the finals and go out the back door first week.
Yeah, and Paul, you made a point on 360, something along the lines of this, that like if Kalyn Ponga's out there or whoever it is, if they're the star of the show, clubs go for your life. You know, like as long as you take him out legally, then if he's their best player, you've got to target him.
Anthony, that's been in the game since day one, because unfortunately for people, look, it's not a socialist game. Everyone doesn't have equal talent and everyone doesn't get treated equally. And if you don't have the talent that a Kalyn Ponga has, and let's be honest, very few do, then what you've got to do is you've got to find ways to upset him, get him off his game, and to negate the advantages, the natural advantages he's got. That's what the game's about. And for people who go the other way and say, well, no, and I get the argument, you don't want him bashed out of the game. Certainly don't want that. But that's illegally. But the other part is, if you can't put him in cotton wool and not allow any targeting to take place, because that's not fair on the others in the game. Like these guys, Kalyn Ponga's a talented player. Sonny Bill Williams, talented player. Cooper Cronk was a targeted player because he was so good at what he does. That's just the way the game is played. You can't just concede this guy's got more talent than us, so I'm going to let him go out and do what he wants because it's good for the game that he's here. That's just the way the game is played.
Well, the thing you test with guys if they got more talent is you test their toughness, because that's what you think you've got over them, because it's a, you know, it's your body versus their body, and if you hit them hard enough, well, they're going to get hurt. And that's what you do if you don't have the same ability as someone. Like when I was playing against an Andrew Johns, there's no way I was going to outsmart him. So mine was just be more physical and try to intimidate him. And that's what they're trying to do to Ponga. I think it's an intelligent decision to rest their players. I think the Knights are going to be there at the end of the year. And they have to have everything going their way in their whole squad 100% fit if they're going to have any chance of knocking off the top teams. And Paul, and to your point earlier, if they name it after Tuesday and they know that they're going to arrest him, I think that's not fair because of the gambling money that the game pick up now and the fans, the sponsors, the people that might be driving.
Fans.
Yeah. And people that might be, you know, oh, listen, let's go watch Kalyn play this week, and his son, you know, that's his favourite player, and he takes his headgear to get a signature, and Kalyn's not playing. I think that you can't play ducks and drakes, and I think that you've got to name your team on Tuesday, and whatever team you name on Tuesday, unless you go to the NRL with a, you know, with a great excuse, well, that team's got to run out.
Yeah, you're spot on, Gordon. Gee, the other big takeout out of last night, boys, how impressive are the Chooks? And Sonny Bill, Kenty, like, you know, first week back, yeah, by his own admission, you know, he was a little bit off the pace, but it's frightening how quickly he has been able to adapt. That shows, you know, what a professional and elite look, talent that he is.
The last time Sonny didn't have a six pack, he was 6 months old. You know, that's just the type of guy he is. He's always in shape, always looks great.
Pack of 3 months.
Yeah. So he's always been that way. Now, obviously, he needed to get back into the game. I think the Raiders game was probably a little bit of a rude awakening as far as how much the game has changed since he last played. But already last night, you could see he's adapted very quickly. And you can see the role that they want him to play. Sonny Bill is not going to be the guy who punches through the line like he used to be. But he used to be able to hit the line, go through. Mm. He'd run 15, 20, sometimes 30 metres and look for supports. That's not going to be his game anymore. The Roosters are smart enough to acknowledge that that's not how he's what he's able to deliver every week. So they're not counting on it. But what he is able to deliver is a bigger version of Victor Radley. He just gets in the middle and he's got an offload in him and he's just creative. We all see the way he's able to get the ball away and get that arm out and find somebody. And look, we've made a big deal this year about the six again and how much that's opened the game up, brought in the fatigue factor, and also how big a difference it's made when a team three tackles into their set gets a six again and goes from a three-tackle set to a nine-tackle set, okay, or six-tackle set to a nine-tackle set. If you're Sonny Bill and you go up into the line and you're getting tackled, and then as the tackle's being affected, already the defence is starting to get back in their line and adjust. If he then gets an offload out and the support player then punches forward, that's the equivalent to getting an extra tackle in attack. That's what he brings. So suddenly a six-tackle set, a normal six-tackle, will become a seven-tackle set. And that starts to tip like an advantage your way. That's what he's going to be. That's he's going to be his real value there, that creativity, not so much just getting the extra tackles, but the creativity to be able to just find stuff in around the middle of the ruck that's really going to open it up for the likes of Keary and Tedesco, who are already figuring out how he runs, when he gets the ball free. Earlier this week, and I was I was talking to Matty Johns and Blocker after we did the podcast earlier this week, and Blocker was always talking about when he played with Arthur Beetson. Artie used to say to the players, get their Thursday, don't get their Monday. And what that meant was when Artie was going into the line and he needed support players, he didn't want you there early, he wanted you there late. So don't support me on a Monday. Support me, wait 3 days and get there on the Thursday. Get there a bit later, which gave him time to get himself set in the tackle, wrestle in the tackle, get his arm free, and then look for the support. Mm. There's no good a guy coming right on his backside who by the time he's got his arm free, you've already gone through the hole.
So you put him under pressure. You make him react and try to do it quicker than what he's doing it.
Yeah, and often you're not there. So often you're just, because you can't pull up on your own, you go through the line, you're not there. But if you're coming late, then the ball player can hold up his pass just a little bit enough to get the ball to you. That's what Sonny Bill's going to be doing for the Roosters.
Tell you what, though, Hoops, before you get to your next point, it's going to be a shame for somebody in a way that we might have been in that, that top 17 at the Roosters. If they go all the way to the grand final, someone's going to have to miss out for Sonny.
Well, that's professional sport, Anthony. We've seen it many times over the years where players have been injured or players who have been in the 17 have dropped out leading into the finals. I think recent examples, Desi Hasler gave Darcy Lussick a grand final ring 1 year. I remember Steve Price, the year that he was injured, missed the Bulldogs winning the comp in 2004. Jonathan Thurston gave him his grand final ring after that game. So, look, that's just one of the byproducts of professional sport. I don't think anybody at the Roosters is kicking too many stones about that, Anthony. But on the Chooks, like just how hot they looked last night. Keary on that left edge, back second week back from that shattered ribs injury. He's clearly still having needles, but his dominance, I thought, made a real statement. Tedesco's in career best Dally M form all over again. They're just, you know, Trent Robinson, we've said it before, but he's just got this knack. Everything is tuned to the millisecond over the course of an entire season. And what do you know? Right on cue, leading into the finals, the Roosters are now the form side of the competition.
Yeah, but Anthony, I've got no problem with somebody missing out for Sonny Bill to come into the team. Mm-hmm. It's professional sport.
If you're not in the best 17, Paul, you make a great point. If you're not in the best 17, you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's the case. Yeah. And look, before Sonny Bill, there was another player who was there who took someone else's spot. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
Trent Robinson picks his best 17 players, and if you're in the 17, you play. If you're not, you don't. It's not a democracy. You just don't get a jersey because you signed a contract.
100%. I just thought it might be a shame if that player might have played 10, 12, 13 years.
Of course it is. Well, you're talking about Orbison.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, of course it's going to be a shame if that's the case. But I'll tell you what, if there's one bloke at the Roosters who understands that, it's Mitch Orbison. He spent his whole career being a club player and doing what's best for the team. He'll be disappointed naturally, but he'll also understand it.
Okay, boys.
He's been a shadow for so many players, hasn't he, Orbison?
Yeah.
Like he's a victim of his versatility. He can play any position, so he's always sat behind someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. But he's also a victim of his own diversity. He can play so many positions that it's easy. Look, one thing about being a utility player, it's very hard to settle into one position, partly because you get changed around so often. You don't find your rhythm. And when you're talking about running for holes or whatever, there's a rhythm in the game that sometimes can take you a little bit of time to get used to. And it's very hard to do that when you're constantly being switched from playing a centre position to playing a back row position to playing dummy half like he does. Like he's done it all, Mitch Orbison. So that can be tough. So he's been a victim of his own talent in many ways, but it's also why he's now 300 games into his career, 302 games, I think it is now, into his career at the Roosters, because he's worth keeping around because he's a Swiss Army knife of your salary cap.
He breaks a record next week. He becomes the Roosters' most capped player of all time. Tremendous achievement. Goes past Anthony Minicello on 302. And, of course, Luke Richardson was on 301. So, huge result for Orbe. He'll be in the 17, Anthony. I don't think there's any questions about that because of his versatility. I think that Roosters side that took the park last night and handled Newcastle really easily, that will be their best 17 now leading into the finals, injuries permitting. And the big news out of last night on the injury front will relate to Boyd Cordner. I think that the Chooks will, in all likelihood, because of his recent concussion history, even though he passed all the necessary tests last night, I think they'll rest him next week and save him for when they need him. They play South in the last round and then they roll into the finals.
Okay, and of course, Boyd did get some awful news on a personal front 24 hours before that game. So it was a credit to him that he went out there and played last night in any case. And the Roosters got a big win in the end. I wonder, where are we at with Adam O'Brien now, boys?
Just condolences to the family of Joel Dark. He's obviously a Newcastle first grade rugby league player who lost his life last week, Boyd Cordner's first cousin, and other tremendous courage from Boyd to go out and play last night, and also a nice touch from the Roosters and the NRL to acknowledge his passing.
Absolutely. Well said, mate. And Adam O'Brien, you boys touched on it earlier, he kind of knew where he was at last night in the Fairdingham department. They knew that they didn't need to win. If you had to sort of evaluate Adam O'Brien's season so far, he's been 1 year at Newcastle. He inherited a pretty good roster. Where do you think he's at?
Oh, he's had a good season.
Yeah, look, I know there's been a bit concerns in the later weeks of the competition about there's been a clear drop off in the Knights' performances. Some weeks.
Yeah, they had a win there.
They've had some injuries.
The
other point I want to make, though, is O'Brien's brought a standard into the club, which was immediately noticeable when they began playing this season. And on top of that, when you bring in that new standard and you're trying to live to a standard, and you know this from your own personal life, when you try to live to a standard, how difficult it can be and how easy it is to drop off. But what the Knights have done is over the course of the season, if only we were televised and people could see you now. what they've done, I think the Knights are building towards something. It just takes a lot of energy to maintain those standards that they had earlier in the season, and I think that's just a natural drop off. I think O'Brien would expect that. He's now trying to hang on to as much as he can, but what he's actually doing is coming out of it to a side that next year are going to be even better again. And Anthony, that's the hope for you, mate.
Yes, absolutely, mate. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other.
Yep.
We are practicing progress, not perfection, around here. Let's take a break and we'll come back, and on the other side of the break we'll have Ricky Stewart, coach of the Raiders, as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it, the Sunday Simbin for Bryden's Lawyers. 1-800-848-848. Our pub quiz today coming up a little bit later on. Great prize today. The vending machine money has jackpotted, cha-ching, to $6, which would get you the pick a mix or, of course, the Toblerone. Oh, I tell you what, it's an absolute hamper down there. And we do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, Hoops, Kenty, and so too Gordy Tallis Maroon here. Let's get one of the winning coaches on from yesterday afternoon, Ricky Stewart, live from Canberra. Ricky, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Thank you, mate. How are you?
Fantastic, mate. Congratulations. I love watching your boys in full flight, and you've uncovered another little superstar there with young Valame.
Yes, he's been in the system for a couple of years now, and... like a couple of the, you know, the Fijians I've had before, it takes the Fijians a little bit longer to mature physically, and he's really, really coming into his own now. He's a great young guy, and it's great having him out there on the edge.
You talk about them maturing physically. I tell you what, once you get them right, they're like a little block of granite, all the Fijians. There's nothing soft about any of them.
Yeah, a good example is Ravalawa at the Dragons. He was here for a couple of seasons as well, and I've just noticed over the last 2 years how much more size he's just got through age. I mean, they all work hard in the gym, but just age with those boys. And, you know, one of our greats, you know, and great mate of ours here at the club, Noah Nandruka, he was the same. Actually, Noah hasn't stopped getting bigger.
hey, Ricky, obviously, like the layman people probably when Josh Hodgson got injured, they thought, well, that was the Raiders' chance, but... it seems to be you're playing a really good style of footy and you're going to worry the big teams at the end of the year.
Yeah, Gordy, you know, those boys who sit behind you know, the guys in those positions, such as Josh, you know, they still do a lot of work at training in our scrimmages and game simulated activities at, during the week. So they put a lot of work in, and now they're, you know, through misfortune of others, you get your chance. And you know, Tommy Starling has got his chance and done very well. Lever has always been a great backup middle for us, a hooker or a middle, and he's great to have on the bench when Hodjo's playing too, because I can use him as a middle if Hodjo doesn't need a break, and or I throw him on at nine, and sometimes great having Lever bouncing off the back of Hodjo playing out of dummy half. So those boys get a lot of practice in, and you know, there's times that. Yeah, that quality of practice is really needed, and that's what we're getting now.
What did you say to those key position players, Rick, when Josh Hodgson did get injured? What did you say to them about, you know, the style of football that you now wanted them to conduct the side to play?
It's a really good question, Hoops. I haven't been asked that before. The first thing I said to both of them was, I don't want you to play like Josh. And that was really, really, really important. And Nicky Ennis still does a lot of work with our nines through more communication over the phone and watching clips, etc. But I know Mick talks to them a lot, and we both discuss the same point. We don't want them to play like Josh. We need them to fit into their own brand first, and we play with them. And both the halves need to stand a little closer to the football. They haven't got the pass and that direct pass that Josh has, so they've got to play a little bit closer to the ruck, a little bit flatter. But, yeah, we play different types of structure off those two boys that we do to Josh.
Rick, it's been a big week for the club with the Curtis Scott stuff. Can you just take us through how the week unfolded for you?
Yeah, well, it was probably we knew it was always coming, the court case, so that was no surprise to the schedule. But it was more the intrigue and the opportunity in seeing the vision, Kenny. You know, the first thing I spoke to Curtis about was, mate, you'll get support here, but you need to be honest. And he has been very honest from day one. And, you know, we can't sit and point blame at the kid in regards to the situation he got himself into, because he's very hard on himself and knows he shouldn't have been there in that position. But he's not the only bloke to ever got drunk and fell asleep under a tree. So we've got to understand that. But he's embarrassed about the fact that that happened. He was new to the club and he put himself in a really poor position. So he was also a little bit unaware. He hadn't seen the vision either. You've got to be known to that. He hadn't seen the vision until last Tuesday evening. And he went to Sydney not knowing which way he was going to go with his legal team in the direction and the advice he was going to give them. once he saw the video, he took the advice of his legal team to pursue the matter, and you know, the rest is obviously now public knowledge. But it's I can see why it's been such a weighing on his mind so heavily over the course of the last 9 months. And you know, I've made some comments through the week, and I stand by the comment, but you know, we'll leave it now, and we've got to move forward. We've got to get Curtis back to where he was playing, and I feel this has taken a real hit to Curtis's ability over the course of the season, because he probably hasn't played to the quality of football consistently that he can. And you know, he's had a couple of injuries throughout the season, and he's had a disrupted year. So I'm hoping going into the back end of the season, he can have a fair weight lifted off his mind, and he can just get back to thinking about what he loves doing, and that's playing footy.
Yeah, and certainly his confidence seemed affected. So I imagine it'd be almost like getting a new player to the club right now, given that the weight that's been lifted from him.
Yeah, and it's really, like, we spoke to him when he came back into the bubble here with us on Friday, that he did his press statement, his media, and it was, you know, it's really important that he just takes it now and in a humble way, leaves it where it is, and thinks about preparing for a game of footy. He's just got to now enjoy the load off his mind, and I feel I can see that, Paul, that you can see a freshness in his eyes, and the way he's handling himself at the moment. You can just there's no added attention to him now in regards to what could be, because he knew that if he had done the wrong thing, that his career here was over. But fortunately, which is great news, that it's not the case.
The finals makeup, it was an important game last week. You finished on the wrong side of the scoreline against the Roosters, which put you in fifth position. Have you begun talking to the players about the finals assault from outside the top four, or are you still hopeful that you're going to Parramatta might get toppled and unlikely? But how do you handle that?
I'm not worrying about it, Paul. All I can do is just make sure we win our next two games. The Warriors have, they should have beat Parramatta last week, and we've got them next week, and I'll have a look at them today. But they're going to be a game in themselves next week. So we've just got to worry about winning two games of football, and given the Warriors is our first one next week, we haven't spoken about top four or top eight. We're just worrying about trying to make sure that we hit the playoffs in whatever position we are, in good form. I mean, we had a real high quality game of football last week for 40 minutes, and then, you know, we dropped a lot of football in the second half. We didn't play well. We didn't play to the standard and the quality that we know we can play in that second 40, and we were very, very disappointed all week about that. So it was important to hit a level yesterday and maintain that for 80 minutes, which is really pleasing as a coach that, you know, we bounced back really quickly. But no, mate, we're just really still looking at improvement in our game and just making sure that we're hitting the playoffs, playing good footy.
Hey, Ricky, talking about improvements, I hate tagging a player with someone from the past, and obviously, you know, at the Raiders, between you and Laurie Daly, there's, you know, probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, half combination ever. But Jack Whiten at times, he just reminds me so much of your number six that you used to pass the ball to in Laurie. Like, just glimpses of his game.
Yeah, you don't like comparing players, but I still remember when my first year back here at the club, I had said that Jack was the closest thing I'd seen to Laurie in how he ran and how he tackled and how he played the game. You know, he's a running six. Laurie was a running six, you know, which is why I always said that Laurie is one of our best centres as well, because he's just a terrific, explosive, powerful runner, which is what you see in Jack. And, you know, putting Jack into six now is, you know, it is such a similar style of football that Laurie played. Jack's had to really learn his kicking game. He's done so much extra work on his kicking, and he's really got, you know, getting that down to a fine art now. But they, you know, the lean on him when he runs and his dominance in defence is very, you know, your comparison's 100% right, mate. It's the closest thing I've seen to Loz for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Stick, I'll tell you what, your forward pack, flying, Josh Papali's been the cornerstone of it all season, and then you get Bateman back from injury, Elliot Whitehead punches above his weight every week, Tarpanay's been enormous, but a young bloke who's really impressed me, particularly yesterday against the Dragons, is young Hudson Young. What have you said to him, Rick, about the role that you want him to play in the team at the moment? And it seemed yesterday like he got more football than what we have seen previously.
Yeah, it was actually a good call of Andrew McFadden, mate. I was about 15 minutes before I brought him off, I was going to drag him then and just give him a spell and give a couple of others some minutes. But, you know, Andy said, leave him out there and he's got to learn to work through this fatigue stage. And it was a good call, and so we did. He played under a fair bit of fatigue in that last part of his stint. And it's a good thing for a young bloke, again, where Hudson's coming back from a horrific knee injury, and he... started it when he came back. He started with a real gape in his run, and he's got very good feet. He's got quite good footwork and agility and speed. But he came back with his gape, and it looked like he was still injured. But he was medically cleared and whatnot. And the boys told me that it was just going to be something that he's going to, through time, he'll play out and he'll get back to his normal running style. And that's what I'm seeing at the moment. He's starting to get back his bit of rhythm and fluency in his run. I've got a lot of guys as Corey and Hutto playing in the middle because we're middles down. So I've got back rowers having to really take a big contribution, big workload in the middle. And we've got players there now who are really supporting Papa. I think Joey Tapanay's in some of his best career form. I know Dynamis doesn't get a lot of reps at times, but he's sort of unsighted and does a lot of work. We're all trying to support, getting him behind Papa and supporting him, which is good to be able to give Papa a rally. 30-odd minutes yesterday gives him a bit of a break. But with the injuries we've got to the middles, there's been a lot of guys just have to put their hand up and actually take a lot more of a contribution.
Well, mate, we hope you go a long way into the finals because the Raiders are a good side to watch. We thank you for your time and we wish you all the best, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. Ricky Stewart joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin. A couple of good points there Ricky made. Hoops, I want to throw this one out there. And Ricky was saying how his assistant coach, gave him that feedback about how long to leave Hudson Young. It gave us a good insight of the head coach and the assistant coach, I thought, then.
Yeah, Ricky's got a great support staff around him. He mentioned Andrew McFadden, but he's also got Brett White, played for the Melbourne Storm for many years, finished with the Raiders, also represented New South Wales in Australia. And then, of course, Mick Ennis does a hell of a lot of work for the Raiders. He's not in the bubble at the moment, Mick, but I know he is still heavily involved from a coaching point of view. But look, the big story, as good as the Raiders are going on the field, the big story for the Canberra Raiders this week was this Curtis Scott case. Mm-hmm. And, you know... I'll tell you what, Anthony, it was complete BS what has happened to Curtis Scott. For that, look, a lot of men and women who work for the New South Wales Police Force work damn hard,
bloody
and oath. It's a damn hard job, right? You're on the front line every day. But what those police officers did to Curtis Scott was way out of order. It should never have happened. The vision and the footage makes you a bit crook in the guts. Mm. That shouldn't happen to you. It doesn't matter how discombobulated or drunk you get. And look, I've been there plenty of times myself. You should not have that sort of thing happen to you for falling asleep under a bloody tree.
All right. Well, I've got some audio now that you raise it, Hoops, again, of Scott, Curtis Scott, bitter with the lack of support. So just have a listen to this audio and I'll throw it back to you blokes.
I'm bitter that everyone kind of just took their side and didn't even consider my side of the story, making out you some monster cop basher. In the back of my mind, I knew that if one of these charges stick, that I'm going to be digging holes for the rest of my life.
Now there he is, Curtis Scott, and we hope it's all behind him now, which it is. He kicks on. He's a great player. If he wasn't a great player, he wouldn't have gone from the Storm to play in what is already an exceptional backline at the Raiders.
But it's a great lesson for all of us, is if you're not there, don't comment on it. And like, I know that we're all in the media and we're asked for our opinion.
We might as well go home then.
No, poor mate, but like, you know, off-field stuff that we're not there and someone's drunk in a pub or whatever it is and you kicked out, mate, I'd be asked to leave. Yeah. No, mate, but but you know what? I think it is a great lesson.
I got asked to leave because last week.
Did you, mate, from where?
Absolutely. No, because Happy Hour was about to start.
boom, boom. I was standing.
Yeah, right. Yes. And they just said, can you leave?
Oh, were you really?
I was standing actually next to him still. Right. And she came over and she said, I'm sick of seeing you stand all night. If I catch you again, you're out. And I said, I'm standing next to him still. Anyway, half an hour later, I forgot myself. Yeah. Stood up.
The world's gone a bit mad. We're not allowed to stand up the pub anymore. Yeah.
But still, you could have just said, okay, and sat back down.
No. I'd used up all my chances. Mm.
All right, boys. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring out the big guns. I call BS is coming up with Hoops, Triceps, as we love to call him affectionately. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, and Maroon. We do it for our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. We'll take a break and come back as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Of course, last night's games, we've seen the Roosters 42, Knights 12, and at 3 o'clock game, Raiders 37, Dragons 8, Titans 18, Broncos 6. That's the first time a Gold Coast side in any sport has won three games in a row since the Coits team in 1924 won three in a row at the 1972.
Mate, we've won three in a row a few times.
Oh,
mate.
Yes, right.
Okay. Us mighty Titans.
Anyway, it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Hi, it's an award-winning segment. I notice online it's gone absolutely bunter since COVID. People locked in their house listening to reruns of I Call BS, where the players, where the guys just let off their chest whatever they want to talk about. It can be rugby league related. It doesn't have to be. Paul, got anything?
Oh, look, I'd like to call BS on what's happening at Canberra at the moment. I think the club, for all the promises that were made two seasons ago about restoration of the family club and all those old values, it's an absolute basket case, and obviously George Currie, the Leeds club chairman, was removed this week. It's almost like a Kafka novel. What's happened there?
What's a Kafka novel?
Well, he's an author.
Right.
He wrote a story, a book called The Trial.
Oh, I just finished that.
Yeah. Well, you'd know then. So how did it go? What happened?
And
again?
What was that trial for?
Well, that's the point. Gordon, funny you should say that. That's the point of the trial. The book. He's on trial and he doesn't know what he's on trial for, which is a bit of an existential sort of thinking. So there you go. But the Currie case is a bit the same. I think he's been. He's been asked to answer allegations that haven't been submitted. And people have made the allegations, but the people who made the allegations don't want to actually document what they are and don't want to go on the record who they are. And then at the same time, though, there's a push within the club, even because of this, these skinny accusations. I know they're not palatable, but when we're talking in terms of evidence, we've just finished talking about Curtis Scott and what's happened to him. There's no evidence. There's no evidence available, and yet he's already stood down as chairman, and it's just led to more infighting at the club with what's going on there. And for all the stuff that was spruced about return of Canterbury and made everybody feel warm and fuzzy inside, they are a basket case. And earlier this week, Phil Gould warned Trent Barrett to be very careful about going there. He couldn't walk away, and I support Trent Barrett for going there. But I tell you what, he's got a hell of a lot of work in front of him because he's got warring factions there. And if it means it appears this way, that Canterbury are happy to cop a bad trot if it makes their faction look better than the other faction within the club, which is a real cancer. There was other clubs in the past have gone through this stage. Parramatta, famously 4 or 5 years ago, it took government intervention to fix that. It can't happen in this case because there's no illegalities actually happening within the club like there were at Parramatta at the time. But how can we get out of it? I have no idea.
Isn't it amazing to see this once glorious club?
Yep.
Family club.
Yeah. But am I right in saying, Paul, that there has...
It's a bad course, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. But am I right in saying, mate, that there's a history of dramas at board level, but it just never made it to the field or in the papers?
Oh, look, no, I think it was about 25 years, the board went uncontested, unchanged.
Right.
It was very settled. It's all happened since, obviously, the salary cap scandal in 2002. Now, that's 18 years ago now. But almost since then, there's been board, factions within the club. One faction gets control, the other faction goes away, licks their wounds, gets the numbers, comes back, they then get in control, and then the opposite happens. We saw some years back when the Ray Dibb faction and got ousted by the Lynn Anderson faction and how nasty it got at different times there. It's probably nastier now than it was back then, and yet they continue to fight. And there seems to be almost a a certain element of people at Canterbury who believe they have a divine right to run the club.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and think, you just can't see the damage you're doing to the club you profess to love so much.
It's funny I just want to interrupt you here because Australia's award-winning and premier actor, Brendan Cowell, is, as we speak, reading a Kafka book called Metamorphosis, which is about a centipede, apparently.
Yeah, well, I prefer the other one. But...
Right, okay. Well, I've read them all. I love them all.
Great. You do. I know. You're a great reader. I know
that. You're a reader, Anthony. You are a reader. You are a thinker.
Yes.
Which brings us to
Not
our
always
next...
that.
Which brings us to our next BS. Right. Now, for a change, surprise, surprise, you've been lining up to put the slipper in to the Gold Coast Titans relentlessly.
Not nonsense.
You just referenced then 1924 and Coits, the last time that any team from the Gold Coast managed to win three games in a row. Well, guess what? The Gold Coast Titans have won three games in a row, and we haven't forgotten because we've got a hold of this audio from earlier in the year.
Hey, do you know, before you come on, Jai, and I know that you probably weren't listening to Anthony, but Anthony said, because he was teasing me about the Titans, and I said that the Titans are going to go on a running streak and we might win five in a row. And Anthony comes up with stupid bets, and he said that if the Titans win five in a row, he's going to get a sex change.
Yeah.
Can we put that up at Parkwood or whatever? Just put it up, mate, on the training board that there's a radio jock in Sydney that doesn't think we can win five games in a row and he'll get a sex change.
100%, I'm all for it. I might get that.
Hashtag Maroon gets a sex change.
Well, let's worry about it after you win five in a row, Jai.
Well, I'll hold you to that too. Yeah. That'd be.
All right.
They've got the Seagulls next week and then the Knights at home to finish the competition.
What if they get out of the Seagulls? What are you going to do, Anthony? How are you going to wiggle your way out of this?
I'm not going to wiggle my way.
They're going to rest the rest of them. Clemmer, Pierce, Safidi boys, they're going to be fresh for the finals.
I'm not going to say anything other than this, right? And I know that the Triple M listeners have stopped me in the street, supported me. The emails I'm getting of support. This all happened in the middle of COVID,
right?
And the assumption was that we'd win five games as soon as we returned from COVID.
No,
that's the first and only point I'll make.
You know what they say about assumptions, don't you, Anthony?
Yeah. That's the only point I'll make about it.
You're assuming that wrong then, Anthony, because you never at any point put a time frame on it.
Make a time frame on it, well, what if they don't do it now? What have they got all the next year and all the year after?
We'll let that slip. It's this season. There's a window of opportunity now. They've won three games in a row. They've only got to win another couple. And
Manly next week is very winnable.
Oh, that's crucial.
How nervous are you going to be that following week? If they beat Manly, you've got all week wait for the Knights. You'll be up there. I tell you what, you'll be up the F3.
Yeah, mate, maybe I want to get a sex change. Maybe I want to get a sex change. I've already started taking the hormone tablets.
Yeah, we'll feel it. Yeah. Look at those calves. Yeah. Can we get a picture up of your calves?
Absolutely.
Now, while we're on that. Okay,
and you started wearing the clothes.
Anthony, you have got a history of writing checks that your body can't cash because we've got some other audio from earlier in the year as well.
Okay.
We haven't brought this up until this point in time, but speaking of foolish bets, Anthony was hosting a function.
You were hosting a function
throughout the pre-season, and he made a statement in front of a crowd out at Wentworthville, which is Parramatta Eels heartland. Yeah. If the Eels make the top four this year, I will get breast implants. Confirm or deny.
It was supposedly said at Castle Hill RSL, but do I deny saying it? I never said it. I completely deny saying it. By the way, everyone, in the off-season, trivia's coming back to Castle Hill RSL. But back on the point, I completely deny ever saying that. That I never said.
Anthony.
That is complete bollocks.
The only thing that's saving you right now is the fact that about 3 weeks ago I got a new phone and not all my messages came across because I had the text messages from the person who heard you say that at Castle Hill RSL. It was Castle Hill, not Wentworthville. And not only did he text me, Maroon has just said this to everybody at Castle Hill RSL, he then said, don't text me again because he's conducting an inquiry to find out
there was a shakedown on. There was a shakedown. You were walking around. You were physically fronting people.
Bullying the pensioners to find out who had told me this. And let me say this to you, though, Anthony. The fact that I had an eyewitness there means that I can produce him if you're going to deny it.
That bloke is the worst person that has ever come into my life in 54 years. I'll say that.
Can I just clarify
as well?
In the
54 years that you've been a man, but as a woman? And,
I completely and utterly deny that I said that at any venue around Sydney.
We have eyewitnesses, and not only that, where are Parramatta sitting at the moment?
I don't care if they Parramatta go on a Dragons-like run, because that I deny. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. This is running over time. As Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to it. Well, I call BS. We go into part two.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes
I Call BS.
Oh, we didn't get to Gordy's one because of these two old Sheilas, Laverne and Shirley over here carrying on. Just before we do, 133353, Damo's in Redfern, the promised land. Damo, what did you want to say?
G'day, Anthony, mate. I just wanted to say, mate, as a South member and fan, mate, you've got to own up to your bet, mate. You've got two games to go and, you know, you're going to shame us all if you don't own up to that bet.
Yeah, well said, Damo.
But Damo, I didn't. That Parramatta thing, mate, that's a complete fabrication.
No. The Titans bet.
Well,
mate,
the Titans thing, there's a few little loopholes, but the Parramatta thing.
You've got to get it done, mate. You're going to shame us all, mate. Man of his word.
You want to see me walking up Redfern Street with a denim miniskirt, high heels.
Mate, I'll hold your hand.
Going into the Woolpack Hotel.
I'll hold your hand as a proud South man. Born and bred, I'll hold your hand.
All right. Look, I'll give it some thought, Damo, but I don't know. After. What's that, mate?
And then take you out for dinner.
Yeah, dinner and dancing.
For Chinese.
Thank you, Damo. All right.
Fair point, though. If there's one thing the inner city's known for, is no matter how much these proposition bets cost you, you pay up.
Yeah, but, mate, they also know that you've got to make sure if people are making stuff up about you, like this Parramatta nonsense, which I never said.
If the Titans win five in a row and you have your sex change, you're going to get the implants anyway. I assume so.
I can't comment on that.
I assume so, because you're going to be an ugly woman without them. If you're going to do it, brother, give yourself every advantage.
I am already starting to tear up because I'm having the hormone tablets and it makes me very emotional. Gordy, do you have an I Call BS?
Obviously, it's sort of a bit of news up here in Queensland. It's a small one, but Wayne Bennett's put his hat in a ring to come back to the Broncos, if you believe the papers, to oversee and become a coaching director. And I think in our game, there's no such role. I think we saw who I believe is the sharpest mind in our game when it comes to the footy is Phil Gould do it at Penrith. And even though they're so successful with the pathways, you know, development, where the club's at, and there's no doubt, you know, say the 15 or so boxes that Gus looked after at the Panthers, there's, you know, probably 14 boxes ticked. But I think when you're such a successful coach and you're sitting over someone's shoulder, I know that Wayne wouldn't have liked someone sitting over his shoulder. I know that Gus probably wouldn't have liked someone sitting over his shoulder as well. So I think that role is not in the NRL. And I don't think that any coach, whether you're a rookie or whether you've coached 100 or 200 games, have someone sitting over your shoulder, because I think it's only going to put a bit of doubt in the player's mind.
I like the point you make there, Gordy. And fellas, like if as a man, we just discussed with Damo, I'm a mad South supporter. I mean, every time a job comes up in the NRL, Wayne Bennett's name gets thrown at it. What does that mean for us at South? Does that mean A, we're prepared to let him go if he gets another gig, or B, we can't stop him? What does it mean?
Well, no, Souths have countered. So South CEO Blake Solly has spoken to Wayne and personally made the offer that he can remain at the Bunnies for as long as he likes. They want him to be a mentor and an ambassador. It wouldn't be in a coaching director style of a position, but he would be welcome in the dressing room anytime. The theory is that Wayne would like to return home to Brisbane for family reasons after he finishes his commitments with South next season. And so the Bunnies are happy for him to go live up in Queensland, but still have a role with the club. It would be fully paid. It's open-ended. He can remain involved for as long as he likes. That's how much they value Wayne Bennett and his contribution to the club.
I think Rabbitohs fans have got every right to feel like every time a job gets mentioned in the NRL, Wayne Bennett's name gets thrown at it.
Well, Wayne might be part of that,
well,
too.
Well, he could be. I mean, he's returning to Brisbane. He's not returning to Brisbane. He's going to the Dragons. He's not going to the Dragons. He's going to Canterbury. He's coaching the most famous club in the NRL. He needs to just coach them.
No, he's not coaching the Titans, is he?
Ah, shit. Anyway, we're going to talk more about the Titans. And we're going to take a break, boys, because you've already really let yourselves down, but it's only hour one. You've got a chance to redeem yourself. Just get back to footy, get back to basics, kick to the corners, play out your sets of six. We'll take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.